for coming. Calling to order the November 7th Traffic Safety, Bikeways, and Pedestrian Committee. First thing on the agenda is the approval of minutes from October 2010.
I move approval.
We have a second?
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor of approving as written, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any abstentions or nays? Seeing none, they have been approved. Okay. The next thing on the agenda is the appearance of interested citizens. Looking over the vast crowd of chairs, I don't see any.
You, sir. You, and you're next, ma'am.
Okay, so we will, excuse me, move on to the Wheatland Road Bicycle Pedestrian Study. Do we have anyone who's going to be presenting anything on that, or just what was given to me? Yeah. Okay. Yes, Mayor?
If you won't mind, Chair, and just for the record, Kathy Clark, Mayor, and I'm sitting in for your council liaison, Dan Kohler. It is his birthday. Happy birthday, Dan. I'm doing this for you. But it also is an opportunity for me to talk to you about this project because it is one of the ones that we are including in the STIP, the Statewide Transportation Improvement Plan. And this is one that has been on the radar for a while. The reason you're seeing it as a design study is that rather than fill in the spaces as they exist, we discussed going a little deeper, looking at the entire corridor to ensure that we had interoperability of passenger vehicle, freight, bike, ped, and transit, all of which use that route, as you are very much aware. So the final design will incorporate all modes to ensure that they're done correctly and efficiently. One of the things that we will be looking at is the opportunities where we can within right-of-way to set sidewalks back, to set bicycles away from motor vehicles, which is one of my pet peeves. But we have the space there if we utilize it correctly. So rather than just connect the dots where we had gaps, that's why the decision was made to do that. So there will be a process when that study gets underway, and there will be public input and so forth. So I just wanted to make you aware, because you rightly are concerned about that corridor, and we're all on the same page on that. So that is coming.
So is that in the next TIP? I mean, when will it, that's the next 4 years spending plan, correct?
Yes, it's, I believe, if I remember correctly, it is in the constrained budget.
Oh, good.
Yes.
And so about how much is the study? How much will
it? It's on the sheet you have. It should be in there. I don't remember off the top of my head.
Are we planning for construction money or implementation too? Are we looking at
once we have the design, then we'll know what we can apply for the apply for in the following STIP.
In the study? Or the
once we've done the corridor study and we have a design, then we can apply for the construction funds.
So it's including planning and like preliminary design?
We'll have a preferred alternative. It's not like land use preferred alternative, but we will know what the design can be, should be, and be able to start
and
scoping
have
it.
Heard of those where it includes the planning and up to mm-hmm. that decision point, the kind of the footprint.
Right. I think the plan is to go through this process so we will have a design in mind that will accommodate all of our modes mm-hmm. safely, and then we'll be able to move forward with funding packages. And SCATS will definitely be very heavily involved in that. We'll be looking for as much funding as we can get for that corridor. I'm glad you guys are, that is a key area, and we'll make sure that all of the modes are operating appropriately.
I don't know if this was the actual final request, but I see $200,000 for estimated project cost.
Right.
Hirsch, you have
I would just wanted to add a few things. You know, I rode out there on the bike, and the gaps in the sidewalks and the gaps in the bike lane and stuff are quite evident. And of course, chariots passed me a couple times. So, you're quite correct. I just want to, in the very first background, it mentioned including Clear Lake and Forest Ridge Elementary Schools. There also is Centennial School, which is the old Clear Lake. And there's kids there, too, which are right on Wheatland. So I don't know what you're, what we need for the committee, but this has been a, you know, Wheatland is not only all sorts of transportation, it's also a key recreational route. So I'm very supportive of getting this process started. I don't know if we need to make a motion or...
Well, the reason why I brought it was Bill brought it to my attention, and he's looking for one or two of our committee members to be participating in the design.
I'm more than willing from the bike ped standpoint.
Part of the advisory mm-hmm. committee?
Yes. Okay. Yes. So, Hirsch, we don't have to decide tonight who's the one who will be on the committee, but if people feel strongly, you can talk amongst each other and decide who really feels the strongest about being on it.
Well, that's part of the Thursday night bike ride route.
It sounds like Hirsch is strongly in favor of being on the committee. I know, Pat, you and Kathy are on the charter committee. I don't know, sounds like you'll be going through the new year on that, correct?
Probably to April.
Yeah, so if you want to think about that too.
And Steve Wolf was selected to fill in. Yeah. But that'll be December-ish.
Right. Okay.
But I'm thoroughly impressed.
Great. Okay, well, reading through this, it sounds really good, and sounds like you have a good focus and goal for the design. So.
This is part of our Transportation System Plan, our TSP. So as we've been working through the priority lists, this is one of them. VERTA is another one. And another one that is VERTA from Dearborn to the city limits going south. That's another corridor study that will be coming. Mm-hmm. And then, again, we have gaps, but how do we do that well? We have to also take into account stormwater in both of these designs, because when you start putting in paved areas, you are impacting stormwater retention. We had that conversation last week with the Delight Street discussion, which was very well attended, and Mike can speak to that. It was a great neighborhood conversation. The other one is in the TIP, just for your, in case, and maybe it's already on your list, would be the River Road Manzanita. That would be a design. Like design, where are the streets going to go, but to look at the area and what needs to happen at that intersection, especially with undeveloped properties there, what are the alternatives that can happen with that intersection, because right now it's a bottleneck, and when you get development, which will happen, it's not going to stay undeveloped forever. So to be ready for that with appropriate facility for passenger vehicle, freight, bike, ped, transit. Thank you.
One more question, Kathy. I thought VERTA was already planned, and we had the money was in the TIP for sidewalks already in VERTA.
For construction?
Yeah.
I didn't know. I was not aware we had design yet.
Yeah, I don't think we have.
It's been in the TIP for so long, it seems like.
Right. We have to do, I don't think the design is done, so we have to do design, then we can go to construction.
Oh, okay.
I know that. We already know what our right-of-way is. We already know, where the gaps are and so forth. We've had a number of issues, working with the school district when some of the development happened along there. But kind of like along Wheatland, the development that's going to happen or redevelopment that would trigger sidewalks and so forth has pretty much already happened. So it's really incumbent upon us now as a city to go, okay, we need to look at these corridors, do the projects that need to be done to make it contiguous. So if I remember right, and Mike, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think we have a final design on that.
Not yet.
Okay.
So
So is there any way we can prioritize putting those sidewalks in and doing those multimodal things before we build new roads? Because I know the extension of Verda is also in the TSP.
It is in the TSP, but I don't believe we're at the design phase yet. And the design for Verda and Wheatland are constrained projects. The Verda extension is not a constrained project at this time, which means there's no money attached to it. I think it's still illustrative. Mm-hmm. So the prioritization has occurred in that regard.
Does the Verda extension, that would be through that farmland?
It would be through the property when it's ready to develop. So again, a lot of that's going to depend on how that develops over time. Right now, it is what it is, and I'm not aware of any move on the part of the property owner to develop it into anything else. It does have the zoning that will allow it to develop, and of course, as infill within our UGB, that's just how things have to roll. But it has to be done in a way that's going to be compatible with that development. So we don't have design, and it's not in the constrained budget.
Okay. Well, thank you. And as I said, on your own, you can make a final decision who wants to attend and share that with the committee and Bill and go from there.
Mr. Chair, does that mean, would you like this on the agenda next month?
I
just want to have that. Decide.
I think just have them. Yeah.
Well, what are the? Is there a set meeting times for that?
Nothing yet. No.
So we just need to keep aware of when they're gonna when that
yeah.
committee's gonna start.
And I guess express your interest to Bill, and Bill will contact you when things are a little
so
more solid.
So whether it's either as a member.
Certainly you could observe, yeah, but yeah, as an official representative of the committee. Okay. All right, moving on, the school zone speed limits. So that came up at our last meeting. I had a question as to how not the speed limit per se, but the area of influence of that zone is set. Debbie forwarded that document, the ODOT guide to school zones. It's going a little slow here on me loading up. There we go. School guide to school area safety. I did scan through it a bit. It seemed to be there are constraints on any city based on statute. But there is within that some wiggle room, I guess, based on what I read about what Portland did. I tried to open up the link, but it was not opening up. So I don't know if anyone else was able to just look at you're on paper, so you couldn't click on anything. I was just curious what Portland PBOT did, but like I said, the link wasn't working. Mike, do you have any thing to add to this thing?
No, besides they were set, you know, by the state, and then the parameters, engineer studies were done at the time the schools were put in. Said neighborhoods really haven't grown, so the same houses are there in a lot of the areas, and so that was taken into consideration for that area in front of the schools. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I don't have.
I know it mentioned about whether you have a signalized cross section for kids to take to cross to the school, sidewalks, etc. I don't know if it matters because there's talk about reconfiguring zones that feed schools. I don't know if that affects anything. But that might be a school district answer. Did you happen to notice anyone who read it? If you did, if it has to be a city directed thing or a school district thing?
Each road authority determines.
Has there been ever any conversation, Hirsch? I know you talk to the schools more than any of us about that. Okay. And my concern when I brought it up was just making sure that we're accounting for the areas that kids are actually walking to the schools. I know there are lights at some of the schools for kids to cross, but they're also walking further distance. I can think of Claggett, where they're walking down Brooks, is it? That has no sidewalks. And it's 25 there, but that doesn't always mean people drive 25. And then the Thorman, they'll be walking on that street. So I guess it could be something that I could look into further and just get a better sense and talk to the I'm blanking on his name, Debbie, who sent the paperwork. Do you know?
I don't know. I saved his email so I can.
Yeah, I have it too. So. Okay.
Well, Mike, are you proposing something like that? We would want to. I don't know, basically go on site and observe. Yeah, I know you've done a little bit, but maybe we, I know Wayne did a lot of work of kind of identifying where a lot of those walking routes were for the schools, and maybe we just try to take a look at them during those times, the morning and afternoon times, and see if there's areas that need attention for physical infrastructure versus some that where a different speed zone would possibly make a difference.
Yeah, that's essentially what I was thinking, and maybe I'm wrong, but I was thinking a speed zone change might be an easier fix.
And I guess we'd have to gauge whether it would be effective, like when Doug Bish came to visit, and you changed the sign by 5 miles an hour, you changed the actual by maybe one or two. So
right.
So we'd have to figure out whether, maybe with help from folks like him, where would it have the most effect, where would changing the signing actually have an effect?
In the document, who determines a school zone, it says each road authority. But then it goes on for location and limits for school zones and speed zones should be determined based on an engineering study that includes relevant data and needs identified by school or community members. So we'd have to have input from Salem-Keizer School, which would be their public works department giving, and I think the head of that's Michael Shields. They would have to be partners on that. We couldn't really.
It requires a school district and not just community members?
It says by school or community members.
Or, okay. One or the other.
Madam Mayor, you had a.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would also like to remind everybody that the Salem-Keizer School District is getting a safe routes to school coordinator, and the hiring process is underway. And that's going to be a tremendous asset for this conversation for the schools in Keizer as well as throughout the district. I think a partnership there will be very, very helpful.
Perhaps, yeah, when that person is selected, invite them to meet us and have a brief conversation on this.
One of our schools, it'll be their primary first one, will probably be Kennedy. So,
does anyone know the hiring date of this position?
Mike just posted it a week ago. And
Becky mentioned it also and sent out the job description.
I don't know. He wants it before the first of the year. So.
Well, that's good. He hasn't making any progress before that anyway. So.
Yeah. And this position will be housed at the Council of Governments, the Mid-Willamette Valley COG. So you have your whole transportation planning department there as well. SCATS was helpful in putting together this grant, and it was just an amazingly done, and we were very excited to get that for our Salem-Keizer School District. It's been sorely needed for a very long time.
Yeah.
But I believe the recruitment, if people want to go look at that and if they know people that they would like to encourage toward that, I believe it's on the COG website, but I'm going to look it up well, and I'll come back to you.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Kathy?
I'm wondering, too, the community should have some input into that too. The whole McNary Estates, I would think kids from there are walking across Lock Haven to get to school. And I don't think there's a neighborhood association in that area, is there? So that would be the easiest way to contact. I don't know how to get people together or to get the feeling of the community about the safety of there without knowing someone. But anyway, that.
I did find it interesting, you know, they focus heavily on the younger kids in this, for the speed zones, and yet I know high school kids are smarter and more aware of traffic, but.
They take more risks.
Yeah, that's true, they do. They're invincible. Okay, well, so let's, I think we'll hold that till we find out about this position's hire, and we'll look to invite them to talk.
So do you want this on the agenda again next month, then, or do you want me to wait until you tell me?
I would just put it, I guess we don't have a project, future projects list anymore. Or I guess, I would just not put it on next month.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll just tell you, yeah. Okay, the next is the discuss the sidewalk development plan. Was that related to?
Was that something that I was going to do with trying to fit together the sidewalk plan and the TSP and also what's on the ground? Because I haven't done that. That's a big job. I'm waiting for it to rain. If it would just get nasty, I wouldn't go outside all the time.
Exactly.
I don't know what that is.
I
didn't see it in the minutes.
I didn't see it in the minutes either, so I...
It may be a carryover from a couple of months before. In fact, yeah, I think it was. You had said that you had, Kathy, that you had determined places that had gaps in the sidewalk, but you hadn't mapped them out.
Yeah.
Put them on a map. And that's what you're waiting for terrain to do,
yeah.
Right?
Well, and also looking, comparing it with the TSP and what's
right.
Already
okay.
In the TSP.
You can kind of forget Wheatland.
Yeah, I know. That's
that
one's good.
That one's going to be good.
That's a good one. And Verda.
Yeah. Right.
Those are good. But yeah, when the weather turns bad, I'll spend more time indoors.
Okay, now,
all right.
Next month is your last meeting.
I know, but you know, I could do this even when I'm not on the committee.
Okay.
I could
okay.
Still come back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Report what I've found.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Oh, yeah, that's right. You're welcome with every meeting.
Okay.
Let's see about that.
All right, well, moving along. We have our project reports. Pat, you're first.
Unfortunately, I have nothing to report.
Okay.
I can kind of report on the trash receptacles.
Oh, really?
And it's, I can only speak about on Chamawa on the west side of River Road. I'm thoroughly impressed. I rode through here yesterday and then tonight this way, and the garbage cans are to be picked up tomorrow. They're all pushed back onto the cement portion, every one of them. And I kind of heard informally that Lawrence has kind of stepped up and said a few things.
Good.
So I can't speak for the rest of Kaiser, but that one main bike facility, at least they're pushed back.
So do you think, is that the people doing that, or is that Lawrence when they come pick up a
I think
receptacle?
It's both.
Okay.
That there's been some communication where to place them, mm-hmm. And they're resetting them in a good spot also.
Because it was just easy riding here in the dark, and all the garbage was out. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, I'd like to have them not there at all, but they're so far back, they really didn't impede me. So I have to say there's a positive. When it's all of them, you know somebody's said something.
Yeah.
And it's not neighbors talking to neighbors. Not
well,
I mean, they may be, but. Okay, thank you. Next, Wayne, the bike parking facilities in schools and parks?
I really don't have anything new.
Okay.
Schools, I did a brief study, you know, 3, 4, 5 months ago. Haven't done anything for parks yet, as far as bike parking.
Hirsch, can you remember in the code, I know we have the minimum required of commercial. Is there something for parks? Was there a minimum or?
Not for parks. It was just for commercial development.
Okay.
Minimum for?
Number of parking spots for bikes.
And where they should be placed.
Right.
If I may, Robert Johnson, the parks director, he's anxious to get that information because now that we have some funding, he's ready to put some in there if there's a need.
Oh.
And we'd like.
I'll take a little closer look at the parks and find out if we have bike racks at the parks. I already know where the bike racks are for the schools and how many and what type. I'll do the same thing for parks.
The Kaiser Rapids Park, the bike racks that are there are those old Nielsen bend your rim racks that should be recycled for metal. And with the C-Tech Center building some of the nicest racks that are around, I always like to use kids in designing, so.
Yeah, maybe if we could do some type of competition or something where kids can design something for a park that's unique.
Yeah, they have the design. Well, for like what you're saying, like for Kaiser Rapids Park, you'd need, I mean, if we're going to say, you know, you're going to have the staple converted U type rack, I mean, there need to be some in different activity areas of the park, the amphitheater and the playground and so forth.
Pulling your boat with a bike. Not easy. okay, Kathy, citywide missing the link and neighborhood connectivity.
I already talked about that.
That was the sidewalk thing? Yeah. Okay. All right, and then we talked a little bit about the NACTO discussion with the bigger Salem-Kaiser thing, and the one event we were waiting on happened twice, the new councillor getting voted in.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Oh,
so I think that.
I haven't heard back from them yet, but I can send another email.
Okay. Hirsch, additional bike repair station.
Nothing confirmed other than the principal at Kennedy is all for it for there. But I have not gotten the phone call or contact back from the Boys and Girls Club just yet.
Okay.
If we don't, I propose that we may think about Kaiser Rapids Park. That was our alternative.
Can we just put it on the school grounds and not the Boys and Girls Club?
You kind of want to do it together, is what I heard. But the principal is, and again, here's where the hiring of the Safe Routes to School position in Kennedy might help us get it a little one. The principal's all for it, and it's in the storeroom with our Kaiser's name on it. So it's only going to cost for installation. This is the old, Madam Mary, it's the one from Transit that they took out and repaired, and they want to get rid of it.
We'd love to have.
I know, that's why I said, well, look, can we put our name on it? Roxanne said, yeah, so.
Okay. Mr. Chair, if I may, what's it going to take?
Well, I was trying to partner with the Boys and Girls Club to help put it in, so both facilities.
Okay.
So I have not heard back from that portion, but I went in and spoke to the principal, and he's, oh, yeah. So if I don't hear back from the Boys and Girls, I'll just call him again and say, let's get this. They want it out of the warehouse.
Yeah.
tag me up later. We'll see if we can do some tag teaming.
Okay.
Great. And the McNary upgrade status?
It's still on hold. Eric said as soon as the major project is done, we'll do it. And again, we'll partner with the SeaTac Center. We'll have to do some fundraising for it, but that does not seem to be an obstacle. It will be in the same area as it currently is, but I got pictures before we started, and there were over 40 bikes in that old wooden bike rack. So to me, that's my legacy. That's the damn rack that I used when I was a kid there at McNary. I want it replaced.
And I forget if I keep asking this, but will any part of that be covered?
Not initially, but
it can be later.
Eric said one step at a time. Just kind of, if we can get the bike rack in, and that's not there was no nose for that, yeah. But covering, then we'll have to do design and all that. Right now the bike rack is uncovered. It's in a pretty good area, except it's muddy.
Yeah. And you may have said this before, but the area where it is and will be, that's an active construction, part of the active construction right now?
Kind of. The vehicles are coming in and everything. And he's not actually the construction manager, but as a principal, he's watching everything and equipment's going here and going there. And he just said, yes, it's on our radar. There's a couple teachers that are on task for it. It's just a matter of waiting. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying maybe by spring. He said maybe sooner.
And the fundraiser, is that something that they've got planned already, or how's that?
We'll cross that bridge, but we're not talking about a lot of money.
Right. Okay. All right. So moving along, unless anyone else has any more questions for her. Committee member input.
I found this. I don't know how many of you know about this website. It's Making an Impact, and they're out of Gladstone. It's an organization that mostly encourages safe teen driving. But right now, this week they sent out some information about pedestrian safeties, and so they're doing this STEP program, Safe Transportation for Every Pedestrian. And apparently, between 2008 and 2017, pedestrian fatalities increased by 35%, while other traffic fatalities decreased by 6%. So, as we know, pedestrians' accidents are really on the rise. I mean, that little boy that got hit just last week, and I haven't heard how he is, but, how does that happen? It was daytime. He was in the crosswalk. So anyway, what they're doing is they have a four-step process here. They're gonna talk about they're gonna look at four features of implementing safe transportation, including the system. So you look at your transportation system and pedestrian crossings and the risk factors that contribute to crashes and fatalities, and then the tools, which are the countermeasures selected to increase pedestrian safety at any given location. Then you evaluate the results, and then the partnerships that you form between the agencies, law enforcement, and public education and stuff. So they're gonna go over these different steps the next 4 weeks, and if you'd like, I can forward those emails when I get them, because it would be kind of interesting. And maybe we wanna forward them to Public Works, or I don't know. It seems like we should be more actively engaged in pedestrian safety. I mean, our city should be more actively engaged in making sure that it's safe. And I know we are. Wheatland Road, we are, and Inverted, it takes money, it takes time. Mm-hmm. But I don't know why these accidents happen with people when they're it was just frustrating to.
I know it was this time of year as it gets darker sooner, and I know there's not, I'm not referring to this specific case, but I've seen, you know, the sun's at a different angle and cars are driving and you're blinded. And I've even tried when I'm turning around to when I'm on my bike and I cannot see because I'm being blinded by the sun because there's nothing blocking the sun and it's just.
Right, yeah, it's right.
Especially rush hour, which 5 o'clock.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and related to that, Kathy, I was just reading something, I think it's from Transportation for America. They have had a few things about pedestrian safety, and one of the things was, they called it slipstreams. I had never heard of this before, but the only one I can think of that we have in Kaiser is on Lock Haven, heading west at the intersection with River Road. Basically, you get your straight ahead lanes, and you may have a left turn lane, but for the right turn, you've got, it's basically separated from a median. Mm-hmm. In our case, we have that big one. And the argument against those is that people have this mentality that they can go because there's a less sharp angle and it's less obstruction to them. So that article is basically saying that for pedestrian safety, those are not. Even though I think on the face of it, and I always thought, well, at least it's giving a protected area for the pedestrian. Once they cross one lane, they have another protected area. But I guess depending on the context, it can be unsafe. All right, Hirsch, anything?
Well, I haven't been involved with too many activities bike-related. There's no bike rodeos or whatever other than helping Mike with the position description. With Mike Jaffe, with the position description for the safe route to school coordinator. But my big concern is the accident on River Road with the little boy. I know we don't have our police liaison here tonight, and I know they're probably still involved in investigations and stuff. But I have a whole bunch of questions. I don't want to get into liability or whatever. It's just, how did that happen? And, you know, was the person turning and not observing? Was the little boy, you know, I got a whole bunch of questions. Yeah. And not that I want to prove anybody right or wrong, I just have a lot of questions on, was it preventable or was it an accident? Of course, you know, from my workers' comp background, there's no such thing as an accident. But I'd like to know some more questions. As I've said before, River Road is where we have all of our serious injury accidents in this town. And here's another one where, you know, we got a crosswalk, and a controlled crosswalk. And an injury for both a bicyclist and a pedestrian at the same time, because yeah, they're in both modes.
I did notice that I happened to be on the bus that day going home, and so we were going right past that. And then the bus actually had to reroute because I can't remember, I think it was by the Safeway, there was a car accident at the same time.
One after another.
I have a picture of what the police took, and you can see where the bike was in the lane and the car, and it's like, okay. And then as a committee, is there, getting that information, is there anything we can even recommend to the police or Public Works that might help in the future?
Well, if you... Do you think it would be helpful if we forwarded this information, this four-step process, that making an impact is putting out over the next 4 weeks, forward that to Public Works? I mean, is that something, or to, I mean, I don't know if we can do that. I guess I could do that as an individual citizen. Hey, here's something that's focused completely on pedestrian safety and four steps that you can follow, four ways to address it. Please pay attention to this. Please read it.
A lot of questions based, I have see whose fault, but what happened?
But it was somebody turning left from Orchid onto River Road, southbound.
Right. Going south.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I know this committees, we
half a dozen times each week.
We've had people come in the past and talk about that intersection area as being fearful.
Yeah. And am I correct that the other side of the intersection, so the north side of Orchid, you can't cross, right? You have to cross on the south side.
That was one that right. came up in that list that I talked to.
Should not.
There should not.
Because it's downhill.
It's a blind rise.
Yeah. But, you know, I read the police article and, there's a lot of questions I have. And hopefully, maybe by next meeting or the January, February meeting, we might have some more details based on their investigation.
Yeah, that would be nice if we could get a little more information.
Because it doesn't look good.
Yeah. Okay. I don't have anything. Do you, Pat?
Well, I wanted to ask Hirsch. I mean, I guess I don't know if we've closed the loop on the Kaiser Elementary thing. Last month, I've provided everybody this handout that helps inform whether. What type of formalized bicycle facility is needed based on the traffic and the speed, and I don't know if we were still planning to meet with the principal and look at this any further.
I think it was pretty much, you heard, no more.
Oh.
Because the police aren't going to enforce that. It's such a short distance, cyclists really aren't using. And then Bill mentioned that the facility there was part of a package. So if there'd be a lot of paperwork to just take it off. Yeah. And I went over there, as I reported last month, and the longest any particular parent was in the bike lane was one person was there for 10 minutes. In the morning, it's not really a big issue. They're kind of, it's in the afternoon pickup. And from a community social standpoint, Lamb Elementary, which is on Heron Road, over off of Gordon, there was an issue with the bike lane there, and the county issued citations, 40 citations one afternoon. The social implications of that went pretty big. And Kaiser Police don't want to do that. And they've mentioned that previous chief made that. Too. And the principal will try, but they don't have any control.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I envision more our meeting with the principal would really look at the whole configuration of everything they're doing and whether there would be opportunities to try to get more people off the road, not by necessarily citing them for being there, but by rethinking the traffic.
Well, this is a thought, and this is up to the committee. Again, this is where the safe routes to school coordinator
could help us because
that person will actually have a tag to get into the schools. So they're embedded in the schools, so that would be a better way of trying to use that position.
Maybe revisit them if that person's been on board for a while.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So for now, it's not a battle we can win right away, but I think working with the school probably be better. police aren't going to issue citations. That's pretty much what I heard last month.
Yeah.
My other question then was, where did we land on Mandarin Street? We had the people come and talk to us about Mandarin Street, and we did. Do we do anything besides say, well, I guess some of the people said they were going to look into the neighborhood traffic management process.
And one of them.
I know I had to leave early, so yeah. I was wondering if there was any other decisions about it.
There was a, the speed indicator thing put up. Yeah, I do.
So the speed indicator was there, and it was working for sure. I don't know the logic of why they put them where they are, but they worked generally. They're gone now, and I've seen some compliance and some not compliance, which is probably the same story everywhere. I have a copy of that form. Debbie forwarded it to me, and I'm going to share it with those folks.
Oh, I sent it to
him. Oh, you did too? Okay.
Yeah, I got her email, and I sent it to
him. Okay. Well, then I will be knocking on their door and say, hey, you want to sit down and fill this thing out? So, and just getting back to the first thing you mentioned. Okay. Personally, to me, I think Lock Haven is the bigger issue about trying to get safe route to school for biking, crossing River Road. As you've said, it's the, I can't remember the phrase you've used.
The Great Barrier.
Yeah, there you go. but then also just on Lock Haven by those schools is lots of traffic, wide streets. So. But though we can talk about that in the future. All right, so moving along to Mike.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Oh, I'm sorry, Wayne. I skipped over it. Yeah.
Never mind.
Let me just jump in there. I attended a Salem Bicycle Club meeting, and the guest speaker was Becky Gilliam, the Safe Routes to School National Partnership Coordinator for the entire Northwest area. And she gave us a description of the new job position, and she had a discussion on the six E's of enforcement and education, encouragement, and those type of things. A real good presentation. So I refreshed my memory. It had been a while since I had learned those six E's. That's all I've done for traffic. I do want to mention something that's happening tomorrow. It's not traffic related, but it's park related. Shampooey Park's having a tree planting project tomorrow between 8:30 and 2 p.m. at the Oak Grove Day Use area. They're going to plant 100 Oregon white oak trees and 4,500 prairie plant seedings. So if you're not busy tomorrow, you can go to Shampooey Park between 8:30 and 2. I'll be there.
Hopefully the fog will have lifted by then. okay, well, thank you, Mike. Now, Mike, if you may.
Again, Mr. Chair. As Madam Mayor mentioned earlier, there was a discussion last Tuesday here at City Hall about the Delight Street multipath. We had a very good turnout. Lots of questions, and it was very well received by those that attended the meeting. There was a conceptual plan that was up against the back wall that people could go up and look at and kind of understand what it was going to look like. Explained how it's a 10-foot asphalt path off the edge of the roadway there with no separation. Both sides will be striped, and everybody, like I said, there were a few questions and some concerns, and we'll work through those as we do the project. AKS is wrapping up the final design here shortly. That will go out to bid early February, and that work should be completed by mid-June. So, go ahead, Hirsch.
The schools project, will it start this next summer?
Haven't heard much about what the school's doing as far as they're on their property. So I know whatever they do, we're going to tie into where they leave off to get that piece connected. But I think Bill's made tried to make contact a couple of times, and we haven't, we're not sure.
Hold up our portion, but the money's there for them to do, and the design's done, so.
Correct.
You mentioned this is a, I don't know how it's described, as a path right next to the pavement. So really it's just a, what kind of stripe is separating? Is there going to be like we have in the buffered bike lane where you got a foot or foot and a half clearly, you know, hash-marked area to
It'll be a six-inch white line and not an eight-inch because that would define a bike path, and this is not a bike path because if it's a bike path, pedestrians can't walk on it. So
that'll be... path, they do.
Yeah.
Bike, or you mean a bike lane?
You said pedestrians can't walk on it? I thought it was going to be a multi-use pathway. I
think it is a multi-use path lane. If we mark it with an eight-inch fog line, that defines it as a bike path, and if we put bike legends on it,
bike lane,
yeah, and we're not doing
lane,
that,
right, instead of
so it'll be a 6-inch white line on both sides. So one side will be right at the edge of asphalt on the east side, and the other one will be defining the edge of asphalt that's existing, and then the 10-foot path.
Could we have colored it different, you know, like you have those green bike lanes? Could we have colored it so it it's even more pronounced?
And one is just going to be like the fog lane of the
correct
travel lane
because of where the right of way is and how the road's not in the center. That's the way.
But then how will it look like a shared use path as opposed to just a overly wide paved area?
It'll be defined by the line.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but
kind of are liners in or out?
Excuse me.
And tennis.
Might just look and another, other, it might look our like line another
is lane. Right, that's what I was thinking, if it was colored red or green.
I can ask those questions. It was planned to just do a white 6-inch line. So.
But is there a the meeting's over and I was couldn't attend because I was out of state, but is there a comment period still open for some period of time?
I guess you could bring some comments to Bill if you wanted, and I mean, we can discuss those and go from there, but.
One of the things that brought this about is the Cummings Elementary needs, but we did some, Wayne was involved and some others in doing some observing and stuff. And the McNary students were walking to school basically in the middle of the light, going to school. And what we're hoping this will, yeah, it is
the traffic
coming. This would at least give them some space to move over. And it ties with the crosswalk in lights there at McNary. And then we'll tie in with the multi-use path that the district is planning. So it's, and in, since we didn't get the grant that we applied for, bless the city for doing the budgeting to come up with what we're able to do. So at least there's a place for the kids to walk and cars can pass.
Other than that, for stormwater, our VACCON just finished up the catch basin cleaning around town of our residential streets, major and minor arterials. So that's wrapped up. We'll still have some local issues here and there as the leaves still continue to come down. But kudos to Lawrence Sanitation. They have been out, and with this dry weather, it's been great. Those leaves are just coming right up, and we're moving forward. So it's going good. I like the sunshine, so. That's all I have.
All right, thank you. Well, in lieu of Councillor Kohler, we have Madam Mayor. Anything to report?
Just a few things. The position for the Safe Routes to School Coordinator does close on November 22nd. So there'll be the process after that to hire and onboard the person. So for future planning, thought I'd let you know that. The Delight Street, the one thing I would add to that is if you look over at Sunset, when the lines were put in, what it does, even though you have more pavement, you have a defined travel area, and it had the desired effect with people knowing where they could and couldn't drive. Right now, Delight Street has no striping, to speak of. So this will actually define it, and there will also be a curve in it because, again, the right-of-way is approximate. Anyway, but that's going to add also that sense of this isn't a straight shot. So there's going to be some definite benefits to the design. The Mike and Bill Lawyer and Bill Peterson did a great job with just conversing with everybody there, the people who live there. And one thing he didn't mention was, but he did mention stormwater, there will be a gravel strip alongside the path to absorb water from the street so it will not go into the yards, because every time you add paved area, you need to provide for stormwater drainage. Mm-hmm. So that is also incorporated into the design. Be quiet. Apparently my phone responded. I didn't ask you. I wanted to let you know, we do have a program which has not been well used, but it is an existing sidewalk program for local improvements districts. So we can get that information to you, Kathy, for your research. And we have done a project, Hornet Court was done under a local improvement district with everybody on the street participated. So that was a full upgrade to the sidewalks, and many of the residents took advantage of the pricing to do their driveways at the same time. Many of the homes in that neighborhood and my neighborhood where I live, you know, they're 60 plus years old, and we all know after 60 years, things start to need some refinement. So anyway, we do have that funding program. I appreciate Hirsch's comments regarding the accident, the very unfortunate accident on River Road. The investigation is still underway, so I would caution everyone to wait for the investigation to conclude. To Pat's point on a crosswalk on the north side of that intersection, that was specifically not put there for safety reasons. It is a blind rise. So the line of sight, especially northbound, is not sufficient to because the road curves right there. So that was something that was not permitted.
But people would be approaching to a red light. Right? I mean, it's not an uncontrolled
crosswalk. It was deemed too dangerous. So no, that was not not included. That's why it's only in the one section. Just one, two, and I know Mike knows that too. On the speed radar design signs, they are by request. So we would encourage people who want the radar reader boards to please put that request in with the city. There is a place on our website that says, how do I? Click on that. How do I get the radar reader board to come to my street? And you can fill out the request there. So it's by request. Speaking of tree planting, you don't have to go that far. Saturday morning, 9:00, come down to Kaiser Rapids, join the Clagger Creek Watershed Council, and we're going to be doing tree planting there too. So if you want to go up north of Shampooey, but hey, you know, you just got to get in that dirt. Saturday morning, 9:00, be there or be square. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I thank you for the comment about keeping leaves picked up because they get stuck in everything, and not to mention our storm drains, which just got them cleaned up. Let's keep them that way. Really want to, if we can use your social media, whatever it is, to get that out there to, please do not push the leaves in the street, ever. Scoop them up, get them into your green can, because when you push them in the street, they're processed differently because they're mixed in with all the other grease and everything else. So if you want to compost them, please get them into your green can rather than push them in the street. And that is all I have for you. Thank you for having me tonight. It's been a pleasure visiting with you.
Okay. It looks like we're at the adjourn part of the meeting. So I will adjourn.
December 12th.
Oh, yeah. Next meeting is your birthday.
Your birthday?
Citizens wanting to speak.
Whose birthday?